Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
That was it. That was I'm not saying the movie is going to be good or anything like that, but that
yes,
that teaser,
you hear that?
That Oscar teaser was great.
2023, Kyle.
Oscar worthy, mate. That is. Oh, that must be up for Oscar worthy, surely.
Yeah. Well, I mean the way Oscars matter these days, sure.
Hello. I think that's always been the case. That's nothing new. No one has ever.
Yeah. I mean.
No. No, it's never.
I was going to say, it just depends on the time of year it comes out. They just qualify if it come out before November, because everyone forgets about your movie.
Yeah, they're definitely in save classic Hollywood mode.
They've
at
always
the Oscars
been bad.
These days.
They've always been a circle jerk.
But you have movies like Lord of the Rings that really pushed against that, you know. But then you see when Marvel was doing so great, and they gave the first Suicide Squad a makeup and an effects Oscar. That was a old, hey, Warner Brothers, we got your back, guys. We know those mean people at the House of Mouse are beating you silly and yeah.
What are you talking about?
Did
you just invent an entire conspiracy in your head regarding the freaking Suicide Squad makeup Oscar?
Dude, if that was not a Warner Brothers classic
studio. What movie had
more
better makeup than Suicide Squad?
There were other movies
that
year. What great makeup was
Star
Trek? Yep. There you go.
Beyond, where they designed over 100 different aliens in one scene.
And giving the year that you had Infinity War Ready Player One, giving the achievement and special effects to First Man, which was just a somewhat better. It just used what we'd already seen in Apollo 13 and Gravity. There was no achievement in jack frickin' shit.
All right.
Agreed.
Thank you.
We're all friends here.
Except with the Oscars. We are not friends with those assholes.
So, Kyle, here's the order.
Okay.
They're going to talk about how great Avatar is. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna do Patty Jenkins' response to last week's events that we talked about.
Ah, I'm back.
You never left.
Gone.
I never left. I left hardcore. No. Yeah,
and
I
then
left.
Superman news, and then Henry Cavill's response to Superman news, then Spider-Verse, Scream, and 65.
Okay. Sounds.
By the way, Danny's probably, my guess is Danny's not going to be there for most of the news or some of the news.
Some of that. Yeah. I've got a hard out.
If you want his opinion on anything in particular, Nick, you might want to move that to the front of the news.
I'm just saying. Danny wants to talk about one of those in particular. I don't have.
Well, you literally said, I have a question for you and Danny about Scream.
Well, I could ask whoever's on.
Okay. Just making sure it wasn't like anything was Danny. Wasn't Danny.
No. It was just for non-Scream people question.
Mom,
that'll be me.
Are we ready?
Unjammer.
Everything good?
What did I do?
Yes, sir.
What did I do now?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship official everything podcast for LRMonline.com and the Genreverse Podcast Network. Today, I'm joined by two other lads, Joseph Jammer Medina.
Sup?
Danny.
Hi.
And then, of course, Kyle's on the ones and the twos as our producer. Today, two of us, the two who wanted to see Avatar, have seen Avatar, and they're here to talk about it. Then we also have some more Warner Brothers woes or Warner Brothers wins, depending how you look at it, and some trailers. Yeah, our BW that we coined 2 weeks ago before we knew we'd be talking about it every week again, like it's back in the Flash days. And and then some trailers at the end. So without further ado, I'm just going to hand it off to Jammer and he can do the whole Avatar intro.
What the hell? What? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all just right, Avatar. So,
okay, for a second, I was just like, what the hell? I didn't sign on for this, but you're right. I did sign on for this because I knew you weren't going to see Avatar. Well, first things first, I want to know your thoughts, Nick, Did you have any desire to see Avatar? If you could see Avatar, would you see Avatar? Why not?
No. I just have. I didn't like the first one. It's like fool me once, shame on you. Fool
what me twice, you like shame on one? Me.
Absolutely no substance whatsoever. Yay, special effects. Now give me some story and some motion and stuff.
That's a very reductive take on Avatar.
That was the I could say
a lot of things about it. Like, yeah, I can't say it had no plot. It had no emotion. Yes, it was a little bit derivative. It was quite derivative, but that wasn't the point. The point was the execution of a well-trod story. But anyways, I get where you're coming from, but you know, I wouldn't say it's all style, no substance, but
Jammer is frozen.
And what a lovely freeze frame it is, too. Yeah, snap that, you chat.
I can't do anything about that one. I think Nick. Nope, there he goes. Okay, we're good.
He's back in the room.
My internet is being unstable right now. I don't know why. Apologies. What was the last thing I said?
You were just commenting on Nick saying thank you. Okay, that's your take on it. And then you were just about to then go back into whatever you're going to say about Avatar watching it.
Avatar, The Way of Water came out last night for many of the world, much of the world rather, and currently it's sitting at 80% reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, 94% audience score. The consensus reads as follows. Narratively, it might be fairly standard stuff, but visually speaking, Avatar, The Way of Water is a stunningly immersive experience. Let's go ahead and see what's in store for us in this movie. Set more than a decade after the events of the first film, Avatar The Way of Water begins to tell the story of the Sully family, Jake, Neytiri, and their kids, the trouble that follows them, and the lengths they go to keep each other safe. The battles they fight to stay alive. Oh, I read that wrong. The trouble that follows them, the lengths they go to keep each other safe, and the battles they fight to stay alive. And the tragedies. Why do I keep adding ands to everything? Let me tell you this again. The trouble that follows them, the lengths they go to keep each other safe, the battles they fight to stay alive, and the tragedies they endure. Of course, this film was directed by the one and only James Cameron. He is one of like five different story credits, but two screenwriting credits, along with Josh Friedman. Movie star Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, Sigourney Weaver, Stephen Lang, and a whole host of other characters, including a surprising turn from Jemaine Clement. I think it's a Clement.
Nice.
But yeah, so Daniel, Sir Daniel.
Yes, sir.
What were your expectations going into this movie? First of all, what were your expectations?
I wasn't expecting that question. However, that is a great one, Jammer. You're clearly very good at this. My expectations were of seeing something that once again was visually stunning, but I wasn't expecting to see or feel much more, as Nick was just saying there, on an emotional level this time. I was expecting more of the same, but upper level as far as what I saw on the screen, visually, special effects, etc. They were my expectations. So I wasn't expecting too much. But I was expecting it to be impressive to watch.
With that in mind, how did you feel coming out of it?
My expectations were met tenfold. I thought it was absolutely stunning, visually stunning. It wasn't, it wasn't the most emotionally impactful, but it was certainly in this respect better than the first one. But I was blown away. I was like, okay, now I understand why it took so long in that sense and why he wanted to see it, put it on the big screen, and it was delayed because it was. And I saw it on an IMAX, and I did see it in 3D as well, just to give people a perspective of what version I saw. And I thought it was absolutely stunning. My expectations were blown out of the water. I thought it was fantastic.
Did they release this also in high frame rate version? Because I did not see it in 3D, nor did I see it in high frame rate.
Variable frame rate.
What does that mean?
It goes up and down depending on what you're watching. So the more actiony stuff have a higher frame rate than the discussion thing. So
okay,
I'm glad Carl mentioned that, because when we talk about it in a little bit more detail, there was a few moments where that was, should we say, visible where there was a clear change, but it absolutely looked beautiful and sounding fantastic too. I was privileged to hear the sound effects or the sound score, the sound effects as well as the visual effects were way beyond what I was expecting. So yes, I was very impressed, Mr. Jammer.
What would you give it rating wise?
Wow. I would definitely say on first viewing, and I will be watching it again in a couple of days' time. Right now, it's definitely sitting at a B.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, I was kind of expecting the same thing. Like I said, I'm not sure how much came across in my initial thing when I cut out, but I watched it and I watched it twice. I had that experience. I had a good time. Didn't feel the need to revisit it for 13 years in the time since then. But at the same time, I knew, like, you know, this is something I want to see. I'm sure it will have enough substance for me to care, in addition to having, of course, really stunning visuals. Honestly, the visuals for me, it was pretty. But I mean, I wasn't blown out of the water, no pun intended. I thought it was, I thought it did the job very well. And, but I knew I had to be like engaged on another level. And I think you were correct in that this was more engaging on an emotional level than the first one by quite a bit. I think they did a really good job of handling the family characters, getting us to care about them. And in one particular sequence, really working to get me real pissed off. Off. I got so mad at like about halfway through the movie during a particular sequence. And I was just like, I hate everything. I hate humanity so much. So upset. You know, ultimately it paid off, but oh my God, I was so mad. And the whole time I was feeling it, I was like, I don't like this. This is pissing me off. I'm getting so mad right now. But I was like, but I knew the whole time I was like, yeah, he's playing my freaking emotions like a fucking violin right now. And I'm just feeling it. And it's going to be very cathartic at the very end. So yeah, overall, I thought he did a good job of keeping me invested the entire time. I think it's pretty slow. I know for the first quarter of the movie, I was like, oh my God, I hope the whole movie isn't like this. Then it wasn't. And then I was like, okay, cool. Like I started getting more into it.
I got that feeling too, but I also felt that when he did put the brakes on a little bit, I do think that they were at the right times and for just the right amount of time to give us a breather, because it pretty much is, like you just said, after the first 15, 20 minutes, it's pretty much non-stop, and it's non-stop with the good stuff on the screen. I liked the little rest, and they didn't go on too long. Like the first one had those slow bits that were a little bit too much, and it dragged. I didn't feel like it dragged at any point after that initial that opening set, shall we say. Well, that's how I felt anyway. I was pretty much engaged all the way through. Welcome to breather.
For me, the whole beginning section before they go the way of water, trademark. Before they go the way of water, it really. I was like, this is kind of like, this felt so much like the first one. And I was just like, I'm ready. Let's do the new shit. Let's do the new shit. And I think that took a good solid 45 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. But once they went the way of water, I was like, okay, I can get on board with this. And actually, ironically, that's what for me, when they slowed things down and they kind of just let us immerse in the world more and kind of get to know who the characters are on a more primal level, like what are their personalities like? Because I think maybe part of my problem was for the first 45 minutes. First of all, I was concerned because they had some stuff happen where I was just like, am I supposed to remember who that is? Am I supposed to remember what this is? Oh shit. And then for a while, like, you know, oh my God, all of the kids look exactly the fucking same. I can't tell them apart.
Oh God, that was my worry. I'm so glad you said about how it gave us time to get to know and like the characters. Because my initial was like, There's more. There's two. Now there's three. No, sorry, spoilers. Now there's more than three. I am not going to remember which one's which, and their names are confusing enough to understand and hear and repeat. I hope I can figure out who's who. I hope they've got some tattoos somewhere or a ring through their nose or something that's gonna distinguish them.
But man, you guys are just racist against Na'vi.
Yeah, so racist. But you know, it's funny. So literally, even now, I don't know their names. I know older brother, younger brother, hippie girl, and younger girl, youngest child. Though that's how I differentiate them.
Young Sigourney Weaver girl. That's how
young Sigourney Weaver.
Young Sigourney, yeah.
Yeah, young Sigourney Weaver or hippie girl. It's funny because I was watching.
We're dropping spoilers. Sorry, listener.
That's hard. That's not a spoiler. That's revealed in the first 5 minutes of the freaking movie. It's not a spoiler.
No, but I didn't want to say how many kids there are, you know, because, you know, maybe they weren't.
Is that a spoiler? That's not a spoiler.
In the trailer, In the trailer, I was implied it only had one or two.
No, I think because I know when they announced the cast, like in 2018, there was like a whole clan of them. There's like a whole batch. So I knew there was going to be at least a few. So I don't think it's a spoiler.
What is the collective noun for now? Batch, a herd, a gaggle?
A gaggle. I think gaggle. A gaggle of children. anyways,
someone in Navigor can tell us. Sorry, Jammer.
I do feel like this kind of felt a lot like reading a fantasy novel, like reading a new fantasy novel, where it's just like it felt like there was a bit of a learning curve at the beginning, which was reengaging with like, oh shit, what is this whole situation here with the villains and how does that work? Where what's the current status of things? What is this world currently like? And who are all these characters that I can't tell apart? And then it's like stuff happens. And then they kind of like you settle into the plot. And then also you settle into like each character on a one-on-one level as the story goes on. And then by about, I'd say a third of the way through, it's like, okay, I'm fully engaged. I know what I'm dealing with here and I'm immersed in what's going on. I think they did a good job.
I know who at this point. I distinguish them. Yeah, that was good.
So
yeah,
I think this exceeded expectations for me. I would like to say, this is way past my bedtime. I saw the movie at 7:30 PM, went to bed at 11:30 PM, which is 2 hours past my bedtime. The fact that I actually caught a second wind about 2/3 or 3/4 of the way through. And I was like, okay, we're back in it. So overall, I think I give it a B+. I think the action scenes were too fucking long. They were too long. They were too long. It was like an hour and a half long action scene at the end. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, but see, here's what I loved about that, talking about action, because that's some of the notes I made. James Cameron can do action. I love the way he does the action. And even though it is special effects heavy, the way he frames it, the way he shoots it, and the way I can totally understand where people are and what they're out there, the geography of the action, the guy can do action. And because of that, I don't mind watching so much of it. He does it so very well.
But there
was
just a lot of beats to the action scenes. Like there was definitely a part where it's like, spoiler, the kids get captured a lot. And there was definitely a point where the little kid was just like, I can't believe I'm tied up again. And I was just like, that's how I felt.
Yeah. But I think with that in mind, though, Jammer, do you not feel that he has, or the writing team have taken on board a lot of the comments that we had, including what Nick was saying earlier about certain parts that were very derivative, etc.? Because
I don't think he learned from
his mistake. He's certainly grown with this film, and I do feel he's taken on board what a lot of people have said about were possible negatives of the first one, and he's made them better, and he's taken on board that and actually made it a better movie. And I do feel, yeah, I mm-hmm. understand how you feel, but I just love the way he does action. So I guess I'm a little bit more okay. I could watch it for a long time because I'm annoyed with how action is done at the moment in a lot of films. So it was nice to see it. So I guess for me, it was like, okay to see good action. But you're probably right. They probably were a little bit too much. And that last sequence, you may be right. I just enjoy watching good action again. I guess that's how I was.
No, that makes sense. You're like, this needs to make up for all the shitty action scenes we've been getting over the past 5 years. So it needs to take up as long as it did, as it did in order to make up for that. But I mean, you're right. It's really well done for me. I think action starts to lose its luster for me after a bit. And like you said, it was really well done. Like I didn't have problem keeping track of what was happening. It was more of just like so many beats of like, then this happens and then this happens and the characters are shuffled around and they're shuffled around again and they're shuffled around again. And then I'm just like, can we have cut out one or two of those shuffles and just gone straight from point one to point four and like just cut out that middle part? I felt that a little bit. Like I think this movie could have been 3 hours, but I still enjoyed it quite a bit. I still thought it was fun. So I definitely say a B+. Ironically, this is the part where I'm blasphemous. I think you should see it, but if you want to wait until you're at home, I'm okay with that.
No, don't you dare.
I'm okay with that. I look at it, it's great, but is it better than what I just have at home? I mean, probably a little, but at the same time, I'm able to like take a break in the 3.5-hour movie to do something else. And I think
I get that. I guess it does depend on what setup you have at home.
I don't have a particularly stellar setup, to be honest, but still.
Case, then, you've got to watch it, because I disagree with you on how impressive it was to watch. When you watch this film, and I'd encourage everybody to watch it on the biggest screen possible and the best screen you can, because Jammer, maybe the one, the reason possibly, I'm putting words in your mouth, is that you didn't think it was that like a groundbreaking, is because it looks so freaking seamless about how good it actually was. The underwater stuff, the attention to detail in that brand new aquatic world that doesn't have any, should we say, live action in it, is just phenomenal. It's just so pretty. And the way that they've done the hair and the detail on the faces, etc., I was fully immersed in just how beautiful it was. Now, again, I was benefited with the size of the screen, and the 3D is very, very good. And I think it's a credit to how good the effects were, when you could almost feel that this was a live action film. And not, there's certain things that make you know it's not, obviously, but there's certain underwater sequences where it's just, did they not just film this underwater and add in computer stuff afterwards rather than the whole thing? It's absolutely stunning. It really is beautiful. And I guess
in your defense,
regardless of the size of the screen, then maybe you can appreciate how beautiful it is. But I guess that I was blessed a little bit, so I do appreciate that.
In your defense, I didn't see it in 3D, so I'm not sure if that adds to the immersion at all on any level.
I do feel it does. There was a couple of, just on that though, Jammer, did you feel there was a few moments when we went full live action, particularly in the last action sequences where the on board the flying ship thing, when it did go to full live action, did you find it quite, I don't want to say jarring, because that makes it sound too much of a shift, but did you feel suddenly like you were taken out of, let's say, VR and then put in a real world momentarily, particularly
like when
it went
to
the
live action? To the whaling ship, essentially.
Yeah. Well, yes. And when it was sinking, spoilers. Where there was suddenly went to the full live action, no special effects, and it was just the guys underwater being thrown around. Did you find that jarring? No, because there was only a couple of times where I thought, shit, we're live action again. But I think that was because I was so immersed, because of the way when you said about the 3D, I was so immersed in how beautiful and seamless the special effects are, the live action seemed the odd thing, whereas the special effects seemed the normal, if that makes any sense at all. I just wanted to feel that at all.
I didn't feel it all, to be honest. Maybe the 3D adds that extra element where you're more immersed, so maybe it's more jarring, but maybe because it was 2D, or maybe I'm just not as receptive to that as you are.
Sure. I think that was, and that was one of the things that, like Carl was mentioning about the frame rate thing. There was a couple of scenes where it did feel like it had slowed, or it got a little bit jarring, but that was obviously minor. Like you said, it's an over a 3-hour runtime, and I'm talking seconds, a couple of seconds here and there where I just thought, oh, that slipped. Oh, it's gone now. Anyway, back to normal. But I just honestly, I think it's stunning, absolutely beautiful. And the action sequences are long for sure, but he shoots action so well. Emotionally, I was invested this time. The story running through it is simple still. It's family. What constitutes a family? Because we have fosters, we have adoption almost, so to speak, and we have the different family values, etc., that come to clash when the two Navi tribes meet. So yeah, it's kind of, we've seen it before, but I think they did a really good job with this version of it, and it certainly made me invested in who lives and dies. I'm not going to say anything about that, but it made me care, and that was impressive considering it is a lot of special effects on the screen. I encourage people to see it at the cinema. I disagree with Jammer. Go see it on the big screen if you can.
If you can't, that's fine. No, what I'm trying to think here is, so here's my question. Oh, I had it. It's gone. What the hell question was it?
I don't know, but hold right there. Since you have a pause, I don't know what's happened. My keyboard has stopped typing. So if you guys needed me to look anything up, I wouldn't be able to. I need to do a real quick reset.
You can go ahead, Danny. I don't remember my question. Maybe I'll get to it eventually.
Well, listen, we've already done a couple of minor spoilers and stuff. Are we prepared to tell the listener that we're going to go deep into spoiler stuff now?
Let's see here. So we both recommend it. We both enjoyed it. I think you probably, ironically, you gave it a lower grade, but I think you probably enjoyed it maybe a smidge more than I did.
Yep.
Did I lose you all on the internet?
No,
we good? Oh, you can.
Good. You're good, buddy.
And I think, you know what it was? It was this. So, yes, it is a simple story, But I don't think it's the same thing like in the previous one where like this is just Pocahontas or Dances with Wolves. I'm not sure I can think of this is just this story except retold with blue people. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I can't think of a story that has like this sort of story. And it's very story minimal. I mean, I could just tell you what the story is right now, even in non-spoiler. Basically, Sully is being tracked down by the sky people, the humans. And so he goes off away from his forest to a water tribe in order to sort of protect that village and sort of go into hiding. And it's just about their lives there and then their pursuers and eventual clash. That's it. That's the story. It's very simple. And he lets you kind of just sink into the world. Pun intended again. Jesus.
It's more about the connections with the characters in that minimal story, isn't it? You've just described the story, but what makes the film better in that sense is it's the journey of the characters from that A to B, like you just said. That's it. And including some of the protagonists, shall we say, the bad guy characters too. There's character arcs for a lot of people in this movie. And I know we'll talk about this towards the end, but I'm actually looking forward to the next one.
Well, if you haven't seen Avatar: The Way of Water yet, and you don't want to be spoiled, I recommend you move on to watching that movie and then coming back, of course, and then listening to us talk about our spoiler discussion. If you don't care, like Nick Dahl probably doesn't care,
I don't care.
Stick around. we'll have a good time talking. I want to bring up in spoilers. Did you think about how they brought back Stephen Lang and Sigourney Weaver? Because I remember when they were saying like, Sigourney Weaver's back, Stephen Lang is back. I'm like, did any death matter? What the fuck is happening? Like, how is this even like, in my mind, it was hard for me not to think of this as almost like a semi reboot in that they're just like, let's just pretend this didn't happen and then bring them back anyway. But no, they actually did make it a part of the plot where, Stephen Lang's character, before they left, he had kind of set up a sort of Na'vi cloning thing. And basically in the event that he dies, that will be jettisoned and his memories from his previous thing would be uploaded to his body. And then he can essentially continue a mission in that new Na'vi body.
So he's
of course, not having the memories of his death because that didn't happen to him yet. But when he did that, what was that, Kyle?
I said, so he's Papa Palpatine.
Sure. He's Papa Palpatine. Except with more logic, because it actually looks like they have a whole system set up in place in order to make this stuff happen. I don't know how extensive it is or if this version of him is killed, if there's going to be another version that's going to come back. Like how many copies do they have? How does that work? But overall, I thought, okay, that's interesting. So clearly, James Cameron, the whole time I was thinking, James Cameron regretted killing off a great villain and was just like, fuck, I need to use him again. I need to like find a way to use him again. And it's funny, even at the end of this movie.
Sorry, go, Jim, finish that thought, man.
Even at the end of this movie, when it seems like they killed him off. I'm like, really, they did that? But then they didn't. I was like, okay, cool. He didn't make the same mistake twice. He found a way to just keep him alive.
That makes sense. Yeah. So I just going back to your initial question on what do I think about how they did it. Based on the fact that we don't know a huge amount about how much tech they have, just how advanced technology is, I think they did based on the fact that he wanted to bring these characters back, I liked how they did it because we just don't know how advanced their tech is. And they, there's all sorts of questions about how can you put a whole human brain with the billions and trillions and quillions and quadrillions of synapses onto a chip. But hey, I'm also watching a film about where they're taking over bodies of avatars in another planet multi-million light years away. So fuck it, I'm sold on that. That's fine. I liked how they did it. I'm bought in. I think that he is the only clone they have. Otherwise, like you said, they could have killed him. And I think that would have been a mistake to just bring back another one, because then we're just like, oh, well, this is going to go on forever. Have they got a big vat of them? Is there a room filled with 100 different one clones? So I think they could only make the one. That's how I would like it to play out. So there is value stroke meaning to a possible life or death with all of these characters, not just this one. But I liked how they did it. I know he he wrote himself into a corner and he had to do something, but I like how they did it. Even the little throwback with Giovanni Ribisi coming onto the camera and saying he's got to do it like this and that, because they're implying that that was filmed during the first film, so to speak. I liked
right,
that.
Or they even far prior to that. Yeah, I like it too. And I think also what they're doing with his character is interesting, because I just think eventually he's going to be reformed in some way, which is really, because like they're having him grow in little ways. And I appreciate it on a number of levels, his relationship with his son, and that the son wasn't like a backstabber at all by any means. He was continually loyal. That was never a thing. It was just of, will he still eventually have a connection with his father? And they kind of got like the little bits that they made us believe it a little bit. It wasn't like a full, like, oh, I love you son type thing. It was very much just, I won't let you get killed. And then, okay, fine, I'll save you.
At the moment, that's all as much as I will do. And I think, again, that is great on that part, because although we know there's other films coming, he wasn't trying to tie up all the loose ends and try to make everything tied in this film. So I was pleased they did that. They've laid the groundwork. It could go either way, right? It could be that he does not get a redemption, or he could get a redemption. Who knows? Because this guy's an arsehole still, right? He's still been and done some arsehole things in this movie as the version of himself. So I'm not sure I want to see him fully redeemed. I don't think I would feel good about that. I like my T's crossed and my I's dotted and my bad guys killed. But I like that stuff. And so I'm not sure I want a full redemption, but I'm liking where they took that little arc, particularly like you said, with his son, with Spider. So I like how they did it, and I like how they've got character arcs for these ones, and even with the young Sigourney Weaver too. There's more to come from that story as well. So I'm super happy with how they did it.
Yeah, speaking of Sigourney Weaver, how did you feel about the way they brought her back in this one? Since I think she plays that character, right?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking so. Yeah, that's how I felt all the way through. I think. And this is where I like you a little bit. I'm like, I don't quite remember what happened with her in the first one. I don't quite
remember. I just know she died.
That's
it. She just died.
So this one...
They had her body, though.
Right. And so this is where I wasn't quite so sure. This one didn't... She didn't feel quite... You mean when you say Sigourney Weaver coming back, do you mean physically on screen, or do you mean as this character, as her daughter in this one? What do you mean, Gemma?
Both.
I didn't think... Because I felt it, forgive me if I'm wrong, correct me, that it was that dream sequence when her daughter connected with the Mother Earth, whatever they're calling it.
The tree thing.
Where she came back. That was her, that was the one that felt a little bit, I'm going to say a little bit forced. But with her being in her body, so to speak, I feel that, I get that. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Not knowing who her father is, et cetera, is quite a nice little twist to be revealed later. Wasn't as good as what we got with the bad guy, with Stephen Lang's character. That was clever, good, understandable, technology's there, whatever. But this one felt a little bit like, well, we need to have Sigourney on screen as a human. Let's do it in a dream sequence. I've got no problem with it. It just felt a little bit less, but a little bit less, it felt more forced. That's probably a better way of doing it.
I think they did a pretty good job with the character itself, with the Na'vi character of her. It's funny. My wife, she was like, I felt like they didn't explore the whole seizure thing enough that she had. And I was just like, well, it's probably going to be in the third one. She's like, there's going to be another one. I'm like, yeah. And then another one. Like, as long as these continue to make money, he's going to keep churning them out. Because what was it? He said that he has ideas for like a seventh one, even after, you know, 5 and 6. So it's just like, these aren't going to end. But she did not realize that there was going to be more. She just like, I thought it was going to be just another standalone.
Oh, bless Mrs. Jammer.
Yeah, no, there's
I have a question for you then, Jammer. A little bit less in depth. The final scene when all the water smurfs are attacking the whaling ship, right? And then it goes to the right. Where did they all go all of a sudden? Why weren't they helping with the final fight? I just felt there was lots of them, hundreds of them potentially. They all helped.
Don't worry about it.
And then it got very personal. It seemed to be only Navi was family Worthington Blue Smurfs. And the rest of them just disappeared. Like, why are they not helping? Why are they not there to help? I don't understand where they went. Can you give me some sort of help
to sleep at night? While because what away? I think is funny, I definitely thought that literally the whole time I was like, where are they? And I was like, ah, whatever.
Okay. But they like, did, it did seem a bit like they were there for 1 minute. They did all the hard work and then they just disappeared and left the family on their own. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it seemed like that. They didn't even show up at the very end, right? They were just gone, 100% gone. Yeah. So it wasn't like they peeked out and then came back in. It was literally they were just gone for the entire scene. Maybe after they got... No, because they didn't even get their daughter.
Nope, they just disappeared. They didn't even come for their daughter, remember? Because she was there when the son died. She was next to him crying her eyes out. So why weren't they there to rescue her daughter if no other reason? Where did they go?
Good question.
Dear listeners that have seen, I need something canon to tell me where they went. Maybe they got lost, I need to, because that for me, and this sounds kind of odd, that for me is the biggest plot hole, and that sounds stupid because
quote unquote plot hole.
But where did the rest of the water navy go during the battle? That's my question to the Discord universe and the network and the podcast universe. Anyone listening that's in the film or come back when you have, give me something that's going to help me sleep. Where did they go?
It might not. It's just, you know what? It didn't matter to the story at that point. So fuck them.
But the whole family go after, because the reason they went to fight is because their daughter's with them.
Fuck them. Fuck them. That's it.
Right,
and even like the Tulkun
yeah.
Creature disappeared after
Chuck
that
Coon
initial.
Is in this?
What?
Truck Coon is in this jammer.
Truck Coon is in this. Yeah, this is actually an isekai, which you know is
down in
not
the
too far off.
It's quite in the cheap thing.
The Tulkun creature that helps at the beginning of the battle doesn't do much after that initial flop.
Which I thought was very impressive, and I liked the fact that he was smart, and I did like the deflection of the rocket with his steel crane.
Oh, that was great! He's like, "Fuck you!" Yeah. Just like put it down. And I love Jemaine Clement's character. I think his character is probably coming back, right? Like he didn't die.
No, he didn't, and you could tell he was a good guy underneath all that, right? He was a
Because like even when they're showing the whaling sequence, and he was just like, "This is why I drink," and
it pays for your research and goes, and that's why I drink.
Yeah. And then also the moment where they were about to die and he was just making a joke at that other dick guy where he was just like, who has the, what the fuck is it called? Harpoon now or something.
Who has the harpoon now. That's it. Yeah. Even though he was on the boat that was about to get, like you say, destroyed.
Destroyed.
Out.
Yeah. And the other moment too, with the one where the guy was making a joke about dropping that vial and he's like, it's never funny when you do that, like it's never funny, like stop doing that, I wish you'd stop. Just the relationship. So I'm hoping to see more of him soon because we didn't see him at all after the ship, even though we saw very clearly he didn't die. We also didn't see what happened to him afterwards, so I'm intrigued to see more of him. I thought he was a good character and I was surprised that he popped up, period. I was surprised by Spider's character. I thought he would be very annoying, and he was not. I actually liked him quite a bit.
Yep.
Because I hate the name Spider.
It's one of those things. I mean, we could probably talk and bore Nick and the listener for a while about the things that we loved about this film, but I think it just adds to the fact that if you were not sure about watching it because you weren't overly keen on the first one other than it looks pretty, this film has a lot more depth. It has a lot more character, and even the... all the characters have some sort of arc, and it does leave you like certain characters
really quick.
We were just talking about more. Go ahead, buddy.
I have to take a call really quick. Keep talking. I'll be back. Oh shoot.
Bye. Yeah. So to people like you, Nick, that weren't, like I say, that weren't entirely convinced about seeing this again or needing another one, I strongly recommend that you do check it out. Every character has an arc. Every character has features and qualities that you actually care about, and it does make you want to watch another one. And there was something, was it on Discord, Nick, where someone was talking about, hope this film is not just 3 hours of setting up the next couple of films. Was that on Discord?
I think that was
I don't think someone was being stupid.
I think that was Kyle being like, I bet it's 3 hours of world building or something like that.
Well, I promise you, and I know Kyle was a little bit tongue-in-cheek on that, I promise you it's not. It is and does stand alone as a one film. Yes, you maybe need to be reminded a little bit of what happened in the previous one. And yes, there are things that lead into another one, but it's not one of those films that just cuts and goes, shit, I've got to watch another one now. It does stand on its own. It does have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's just that the end has areas that can be explored further on, right? So don't be worried about that either. It really does have value to watch this movie. I'm looking forward to watching it again, and I do not mind sitting in that chair for another 3 hours. It just looks beautiful, even just to look at the beauty. It's stunning, Nick. It really is. If Weta's technology is getting that far, it's beautiful. To do water underwater that well with CGI, whatever you want to call it now, and to get it that good, yeah, we're on a winner now. This has raised the bar what stuff can do.
I don't like swimming. I don't like the ocean. It made me want to swim in the ocean.
Right. Well, there you go. See, now there's the tagline. That's what should go on the back of the Blu-ray. Joseph Jammer-Medina made me want to swim in the ocean. And I don't like swimming.
Like the ocean. I don't like swimming. I hate the ocean. And it made me want to swim in the ocean.
Boom. There you go. That's the front of the cover. That's with the 5 stars or the B plus or whatever you gave it at the bottom. There you go. LRM just got his first front cover of a Blu-ray disc.
There you go. Nick, does this make you any more interested in watching the movie?
No, but I like Danny's enthusiasm. I don't want to, like, Danny's almost like a happy puppy that, like, I don't want to let down. Because Danny is so excited about it. So I feel a Scrooge to say no, but I have no interest to see this movie.
I mean, it's worth watching. I mean, you watch, like, you have time. Well, I guess you have time now, but once you have money, you won't, so...
Once I have a job, I won't, but I will have money. So win, lose.
I'm trying to think of a way to twist it. Here, if you don't have a job, I don't even know why I'm so invested in this. If you don't have a job by the time it comes out, I will pay for you to rent it on streaming, and then you have to watch it.
It'll be on Disney Plus for free eventually.
Oh, yeah.
I'll buy you the Blu-ray, Nick. I'll buy you the Blu-ray. I'll buy you the Navi Blu-ray, because that's what it's going to be called, right?
The Navi Blu-ray?
Navi Ray.
His own
new technology just for one movie.
Just for
two
one
movies.
Movie.
They re-released the first movie on it too.
Well, seven.
Oh, are you serious? Seven. Is that actually what it's called?
No.
Oh, okay.
Navi or Blue?
I know that, but I was like, wait a second. I could see the marketing people thinking they're so fucking clever and then just changing it.
I can see James Cameron thinking that, and then they're like, "That's the dumbest idea ever." And he's like, "Fuck you! I do what I want." Just like this
bitch,
movie.
I made Avatar. Bitch, I made Titanic. I made Terminator 2. I made Aliens. So, anyway, that's all I have to say.
I made Piranha 7 or whatever he made.
I think it was Piranha 2.
This movie is worth watching. If you're interested, definitely see it. If you're on the fence, if you have time, see it. Get off the fence and check it out. I think it's an experience for sure.
I'm falling backwards off the fence, not forwards into the movie. I'm falling on the side of the fence without the pool or the river or the lake or the ocean.
Anything else you want to mention, Danny?
Did I mention how you should watch it? I think so. I'll just say I haven't watched it, but nothing else. I mean, you and I could talk for a while, but I think we bored the dear listener so far. But yeah, no, I'm good. Thanks, buddy.
Did you have the Mission Impossible footage in front of yours?
No. Oh, no one cares about that.
Only
shit,
IMAX.
Nick.
That's all I would care about.
We didn't have that, Nick. I would have DM'd you, buddy, and told you about that. Oh, just quickly, one thing I have heard, Jammer, particularly for our listeners from Britain. The Stephen Lang avatar looks exactly like Vinnie Jones. And if you're not from the UK, you're familiar with Vinnie Jones, Bullet Tooth Tony from the Lockstock films, he looks exactly like him.
Does he?
It took me out for a few seconds as well. I kept thinking, that's not Stephen Lang, that's Vinnie fucking Jones. That's all I got.
Yeah. Nick, I have a question. Do you think it sounds stupid how they brought back Stephen Lang? No, it doesn't.
It sounds lazy. Like, we need to use the same villain, but it's a cool way to do it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay, that's cool. No. All right, well, that's all I have to say about Avatar, The Way of Water. Definitely check it out. If you're a theater-going person, there's no reason. If you like going to the theaters, there's no reason for you to miss this movie. Make a night of it. You have no choice. It's 3.5 hours long, so definitely make a night of it. And don't do what I did and get up for a 6 a.m. class the next morning, because that was not fun.
Well, he did it for the podcast.
The bags under my eyes. God, you know, even last week when Nick was like, hey, so Avatar is coming out next week. And I was like, fuck, we're going to have to watch that. And then I was just like, no, let's not, because I don't want to see it Thursday night. But then, you know, Jonesy in the chat was just like, well, that'd be the one. I'm like, yeah, he's right. Fuck, I guess I have to watch Avatar at night. I hate it. I would much prefer to see it this evening, like at, you know, 5 or something, than yesterday. So, you know, the fact that I was in a sleepy state, dreading the next morning. And still enjoyed it.
No one cares. Wow. Shut up, Gemma. No one cares.
Wow.
No one cares.
Come on. All couldn't people see would, it this evening.
You of all people should respect a healthy sleep habit, Danny.
I do, but I also respect the fact you got up early to go to the gym and do a class. So there you go. There's the flip side to that. So well done.
Thank you. By the way, they have TRX classes there.
Damn straight they do. I bet they're not as good as mine.
That's what I was about to say. You need to come over here and put on a TRX class. I'd be there in a second.
I'll make you watch Avatar the night before.
All right. Well, Nick, I'll hand the microphone back over to you, because I think we're done speaking about Avatar. I know there's been a lot of shit going down at Warner Brothers this past week, in addition to some cool trailers dropping. So go ahead and throw us into the mix. What we got to talk about today?
We got some more Warner Brothers woes, or Warner Brothers wins, depending how you think about it. WBW, baby. So first of all, we have a follow-up on last week's story about Wonder Woman 3 biting the dust, or at least Patty Jenkins leaving the project. It was said that... I got Jammer into the other one, bites the dust. It was said in that article from sources... which is always true.
It was a Deadline article. Okay, they all say, you know, undisclosed sources. They're not going to reveal the janitor that walks by and cleans the trash, you know, overheard the executives talking. Hey, no, seriously, it could be. Yeah. I know for a fact those were sources that we had at LRM back in the day.
Oh,
it was
really?
Literally a janitor snapping a picture of somebody's desk with, like, paper on it or something.
I'm like, oh, watch out for those janitors. Those sneaky, sneaky janitors. So last week it was said that Patty Jenkins was out, which is still the case. And it was said that she was offered a chance to do a new treatment, a new script, if it fit their new model, their new storyline. And she refutes that in her official tweet on Patty Jenkins. I mean, on Twitter from Patty Jenkins.
PattyJenkins.com.
Me and my roommate did that this week. We were like, how many actors actually own their own website? And it's not many. Tom Cruise does, which we were surprised. But so here's the highlights of it. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's long and boring.
It's not boring. What are you talking about? It's
not boring. Half of it's just like, oh, I loved working with Gal Gadot and Linda Carter. And thank you.
But I think that's important to put in there. It's like there's at least to acknowledge that it exists, that it didn't come across as a bitter thing. It came across as, hey, there were some rumors that were just wrong. Here's what actually happened. But also making sure that there was that professionalism of like, I had a good experience. Warner Brothers clearly has some shit to deal with, and I totally understand that they have hard decisions to make and it just didn't work out, blah, 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 blah.
Anyway, I'm going to read one paragraph before the other. No, it's not in this order. And you'll see why in a second. Okay. So first, this is the first paragraph I'm reading is her addressing the story from last week. When there started being backlash about Wonder Woman 3 not happening, the attractive clickbait false story that it was me that killed it or walked away started to spread. That is simply not true. I never walked away. I was open to considering anything they asked of me. It was my understanding there was nothing I could do to move anything forward at this time. DC is obviously buried in changes right now, and they have to make, there's just dirt on my screen. So I understand these decisions are difficulty right now. I'm like, is that shake or make? Am I missing a letter?
But, where are you looking? Oh, to make. Having to make.
Yeah, shake. I got it eventually.
Okay.
But so that's based, and that ties into our next story, which kind of jammer, but I want to, before I move on to that, just in general, what ties into our next story is last week, Jammer and I were discussing whether or not it should be done, a complete reboot of the universe. And it looks like based on other, I don't remember what you said. Cause remember, I thought you were against it, but it was Kyle who gave me like a dirty look when you were talking about it, not you or something.
I wasn't against it.
No. I was 100% for it. And I'm 100% for what's coming up, which we'll get to in a little bit involving Superman and James Gunn. Cause it's a mess. You're just going to do half measures again. You're going to end up with exactly you have now after the Snyder incident.
Sometimes you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, fuck babies.
Instead of throw the baby out, make a new baby.
Yeah, make a better baby.
Make a better baby.
Faster. But here's the paragraph I actually liked. I dislike.
Let me guess. Why don't you ask us about the other question? Because you're about to switch the topics to Rogue Squadron, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Good list.
So what are your opinions?
Thank you. Danny, what do you think about this? About her response overall? And does it change your opinion about anything?
It doesn't change my opinion. I think it was a response that I was kind of, should we say, expecting. I think she did it in the right way. She said the right things to appease the right people, etc. She's obviously in a very difficult situation as far as that's concerned, especially, I know you guys covered it last week, especially with what happened with Wonder Woman 2. It wasn't exactly the success that I'm sure they were hoping it would be. And for her a little bit too. So I think, she said what she needed to say. I genuinely believe that's how she feels, certainly about the people that she worked with and things. I don't know where the next story is going as far as Rogue Squadron's concerned. I was more worried about Rogue Squadron. Sorry, Nick, based on how Wonder Woman 2 looked and did and was. And I was like, oh, shit, now I'm not quite so excited about Rogue Squadron. And I was very excited about it when it was first announced 100%. As a movie.
Yeah, I will say this: her quote, I think it was a needed response, because I'm sure there are some people out there who are like, have a certain perspective about her. And I'm looking at Kyle here, cause I know Kyle felt the same way, how like Wonder Woman 2 was very clearly the product of her having full control. And then that story about her not wanting to make changes and walking away seemed to think, well, shit, she's just full of herself. So I think this response and her saying, nope, that's not what happened, I think probably could go a long way for other students to be like, oh, wait, maybe she's not just a difficult egomaniac to work with. Maybe she will listen. It's just the DC was beyond repair and they needed to cut ties, throw out that baby.
My position still solely rests on 84 being a mess in direction, a mess in writing, a mess in editing, a mess in sound design, and that while I do and have admitted even on the Cantina that a collaborative issue where there's a different writer, producers and all of that, and she's only directing, that is better than saying she would have complete control. Still, the direction of Wonder Woman 84 was still so awful that I don't want her touching Rogue Squadron.
I mean, Wonder Woman 1 was pretty fucking good though. Like
it was, and that's why
she had a hit. And she had a miss. I completely understand your miss, but just because she had a miss doesn't mean she can't have a.
But she had she had collaboration, and if it works, it works. I'm still gonna be there opening night if and when it does come out. But if you offered me someone else, not anyone else, but someone else, I would seriously consider it.
Who would you consider? Who would you want to do Rogue Squadron?
Honestly, Ronald Moore. I've been saying that for a long time. Ronald Moore was a writer on Star Trek First Contact, and he was the showrunner for Battlestar Galactica, the reimagining in the 2000s. And that's why I want is because of Battlestar Galactica. So.
What has he directed?
He's
had a few things I can't recall off the top of my mind. And like I said, my primary thing was Battlestar Galactica more. So that is one name that came up. And if I could pick a composer, it would definitely he directed a bunch of Star Trek episodes. He's mostly TV. Mostly TV, developer, writer, executive producer. Writer on Generations, First Contact, and a writer on Mission Impossible 2. So yeah,
so he's directed two Nothing. Episodes.
Yeah, just some TV episodes.
He's directed he's directed one TV episode of Battlestar Galactica and one episode of Caprica. That's it.
Yep, I still would give it to him. Try it.
I think you're absolutely nuts. I get him to write it. I'm on board with that. I don't think I want to get him to direct it. Not until he's directed anything that's movie.
Hey, everyone's got to start somewhere, right? I mean,
With Rogue Squadron, though, is my point. Dude, he should start with something else.
Hold on, Jammer. They gave the Community guys freaking Winter Soldier.
They directed me and Dupree.
That really compares. Okay. All right. That really compares. Sure.
I do have a slight issue, and it's something I've learned throughout life where it's like, just because like someone you love is attached or someone you hate is attached. I mean, not love or hate, but someone has a good track record or a bad track record really doesn't mean anything for their next project. Like, it's like, oh, it's the writers I loved who did, you know, Horrible Bosses. Then you watch another movie by the same writers and you're like, ooh, it just depends. I don't know. As Kyle said, it does depend on the collaborators, you know, and that kind of stuff. It also just depends on which project it is. Like, Patty Jenkins did The Hurt Locker, my favorite Academy Award winning movie of all time.
That was Bigelow, I thought.
That was Bigelow.
I didn't know those were different people.
Oh, my God, Nick.
She did Monster.
She did Monster. Yeah, she did Monster.
Which I haven't seen, so I can't brag about that. I didn't know they were different people.
They have different names, Nick. Oh, Catherine Bigelow and Patty Jenkins, the same person.
It's a female director. Must be the same. It's kind of like Winona Ryder and Christina Ricci from last.
Yeah. Oh, Danny, he didn't know that Christina Ricci and Winona Ryder were two different people.
Until I saw Nick on Wednesday.
But yeah, that's the other part of the quote. I don't really have to read it, but now that she left Rogue Squadron, you know, it was one of those like indefinite, it could happen, it might not happen because of Wonder Woman 3. And she's like, I only left Wonder Woman 3, so now I'm focusing on Rogue Squadron again. Which,
well, to be fair, the quote is, in fact, I am still on it and that project has been in active development ever since. I don't know if it will happen or not. We never do until the development process is complete. I think that's very important because her comment almost seemed like it was aimed at two things. Because there's also been Rogue Squadron stuff in the rumor mill relatively recently. So she's addressing the Warner Brothers stuff while also putting in some things about Rogue Squadron. The purpose, people could read it, oh, she's trying to hedge bets or whatever. No, she delivered a really good professional response there, but it is important to say that even she is not sure on the status, like the future of Rogue Squadron.
Maybe that was just a fuck you to Warner Brothers, where it's like, fuck you, Warner Brothers, I'm going back, I'm going over to Disney, as Henry Cavill should. The rumor for the Thunderbolts movie is that they're gonna fight an evil Superman, and someone was like, how awesome would it be, because they have lots of characters that fit, like not literal Superman, but they have lots of Marvel characters that are like, this is our version of Superman and he's a bad guy. How cool would it be to get Henry Cavill to play an evil Superman for Marvel?
That'd be pretty cool.
But that
Wait, so who do they have that could fit the bill for an evil Superman? Character wise,
I don't know all the, like, isn't the Hyperion one?
It's
of them?
Hyperion.
Mike Johnson.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not that steeped.
Hyperion and the other possibility as a character that Bendis created. I don't think they would use it. Sentry, who's got a evil shadow version alter ego to his super powered golden hero version, Sentry in the Void. That's a whole another can of worms. I think it's going to be Hyperion. The fact
that we both named him at the same time means at least some Marvel people know. Yeah. Hyperion, that was who we both named first. All right, so Danny's gonna have to hop off soon, so he won't make it to my Scream question I have, but it doesn't matter who I ask it to, as long as they're not a big fan of the other ones. Gotcha. So the real confirmation, besides Wonder Woman being dropped, and not complete confirmation, but now it's assumed that they're restarting everything, is that Henry Cavill is out because James Gunn is making he's writing, no confirmation of director, he's actually making it sound like it isn't him, a Superman movie, which will be a younger version of the hero, but not an origin story. As Hollywood Reporter writes, and James Gunn has said himself, like, I guess this article is before he said it himself, because they're like, sources say, and it's like, I read James Gunn say that, so he must have written this the day before James Gunn said this, is that it will be a younger Superman, but he'll still be, like, all the way at the Daily Planet Superman. We're not getting, like, a Smallville or something. And just and of course, he said, obviously, it won't be Henry Cavill, based on the fact that they're going younger. And this obviously comes as a clash, big trouble for Henry Cavill. Just the idea that he people keep thinking he quit The Witcher for Superman. Did. I actually don't believe
for Superman. Okay, gotcha.
His quote was because his quote was creative differences, and people were like, oh, we quit it to go back to playing Superman. And it's like,
there was another rumor from Grace Randolph, who is hit or miss, but that his agent was basically saying, you're a film actor, you need to focus on film. And now that you have Superman coming back, that's an opportunity for you to shift your focus into film. Again, right. That was one source, yeah. One source, not rumor, but that was one person who said that. I don't think I've heard that from anybody else. Kyle, have you?
Just the same rumor, but from other interviews where he is as tactfully as possible expressing issues with The Witcher, I would, if I were to place a bet, he left The Witcher because he did not like the direction of the character. He's known to be a geek. He's being offered a chance at a dream project with a Warhammer 40K project over at Amazon, which is not finalized, but he himself did make a comment on that as well. So there, at least the story about there being talks for that is true,
which is funny. Back to TV, after right? His agent says no.
And that's why I'm saying I really don't know if it's the whole TV thing. I think he's just looking to do projects that he believes in and that hold yep. true to what he thinks they should be. So
the other franchise I think of him for is something that people have been wanting for a long time, where they're like, well, he's available to play James Bond now, like, pull the trigger.
Yeah. His schedule just opened up.
Someone younger this time.
That's he's true, only 39.
He's
oh
39.
My god! I thought he was older.
He's younger than most of the Bonds when they were cast, but
yeah, that's not still, that age.
Yeah, but they did. Kyle's right. They did say they want to go even younger, but not.
I mean,
with Tom Holland.
Who cares what they say? Who cares? Who's like that? Who knows? No, who Who's knows what that? They're gonna? Who knows what they will ultimately settle on? Is my point.
Yeah. And then, of course, this news kind of comes, like, it's so weird because, you know, DC was trying to get their shit together and stuff, and they even had him come out and have an announcement that he was returning. And apparently he was returning for just a cameo in Black Adam, which is
I think there were plans for more, but then Gunn came in and once again threw out the baby.
Which is good in this case. Like I said last week, I preferred this.
But yeah, that's really sad. Like, I feel bad for him.
Because he was
like,
a good Superman. He's never got a
great
good
Superman.
Movie.
He's a great actor. He's never. I think he's gotten a couple of good movies. He
not
got
a good
Man
Superman
of Steel.
Movie. Oh,
I love Man of Steel. I really like Man of Steel. It's a flawed movie, but I do like what the idea behind the movie was, which was an alien story, and about him deciding is mankind worth saving? Because frankly, I don't know if it is. So I'm with him. Maybe it's my my misanthropic self being unsure about that. So I like what he did. I think there was a couple of things that needed to be like tightened up with Man of Steel, but overall I think it was good. And I like Batman v Superman, the ultimate cut. I really, you know me, I fucking love Justice League, Zack Snyder cut. That movie's awesome. So I like the movies he's been in personally, but he hasn't had a really successful Superman movie or really any successful movie that he's been in really, right? There hasn't been a big success.
Like, I would love for Man from Uncle sequels, but Army Hammer's in the doghouse. And because that was, you know, because that was meant to be like a Guy Ritchie franchise.
Well, the movie, like, didn't Sherlock. Do very well.
No, it didn't.
You know, prior to Army Hammer's cannibalistic reveals.
Mm-hmm.
Alleged cannibalistic reveals.
Alleged.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Just quick, did you discuss the future of Black Adam in this new world, with the particularly not as big as they thought it was going to be, how much The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, fought to have Henry Cavill as Superman, and now suddenly we've got this, he's not Superman anymore. Do you think that Black Adam is now done and dusted? That was it? That was our Black Adam film? We got it?
I think so.
I think
they're not going to want a new Amanda Waller.
Some we didn't discuss this at all, no. But this is a new... We haven't talked about it. Go ahead, Nick.
Okay.
I was just going to say they're going to want a new... people are a new Amanda Waller, you know, and all that stuff going forward. But I just think it's funny that...
Peacemaker season 2 coming up, Nick.
That's true. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Is James Gunn's wife... Waller
coming back for something else as well?
Not anymore.
No, not necessarily.
She's reported.
There's no word on, as a matter of fact, James Gunn said earlier this week that they will be, and I'm roughly quoting, things, keeping the things that work and not keeping the things that don't work. So there is no, hey, the whole thing's being rebooted. Everyone's gone. There's 4 movies next year. The Flash, Blue Beetle, Shazam 2, and Aquaman 2. You've got Peacemaker 2. There's a lot of things still kind of up in the air, so we'll have to wait and see. I'm not sure about that.
Not coming out next year.
Yeah, not next year for sure. But as far as what it looks like going forward, he did say himself in a tweet that they will be keeping what works. Now, what does that mean? Behind the camera, crews and teams, writers, does we don't know, but it is a multiverse. And there is a Flash movie coming up. We might see instead of Flashpoint, this might be an amalgamation of Flashpoint and Rebirth. So we'll have to see.
Should be great.
I think they just need to kill everyone and just start over again. Forget the multiverse. Start from scratch. Start from ground zero.
So with what Kyle just said about keeping what works and getting rid of what doesn't, we've just discussed that Henry Cavill is not one of those things, even though I think most people agree that worked. But do we think that Black Adam worked? Do we think Dwayne Johnson is in the it worked pile or the didn't work pile based on and the arguments there?
Which is funny because I was going to say something, but I'm realizing contradictory information. So like, here's, for example, what didn't work about Henry Cavill is that his movies weren't as successful as they needed to be. Black Adam, I haven't seen the movie. Did not make a lot
HBO
of money.
HBO Max, I want to watch it.
Did not make a lot of money. Made like 380 something million or something. He claimed it was profitable, but there have since been people coming out or saying that he released misleading information and he's looting money. He was spinning.
It could be with merchandise and the inevitable home video sales. There will be physical media for that. It will very likely make its budget back plus a little. The worst thing for it, and we might be having a completely different conversation if it hit China, but that's what worked against it, is it didn't get a Chinese release. If it did, it easily makes another $150 million in my opinion. Is profitable, right, yeah.
But like, so the other thing for me is like, that puts a random question of what.
Danny
had to leave.
We knew he had to leave, but
what works, what didn't? What's the definition of what doesn't work? And the thing is, the Suicide Squad did not make money. Of course, it was during the pandemic when it was released, so it's hard to say for sure. was not by that definition successful. So does that mean that's just his stuff is coming back? I don't know. Peacemaker, I think, was successful.
Because his wife, who's half his age, not that that matters, is in all those projects.
I'm sorry, it does matter a little bit. It's a little weird.
Especially when he was her director, so basically choosing her or approving her wardrobe and like framing the shots and stuff. It's like, that's a little creepy. But that's the joke online, is that anything with his wife in it stays because she needs a job.
I mean, to be fair, in her defense, she was good.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah, she was good.
I got Andrew to start Peacemaker last week, and he was like, how did I wait this long on it? And I was like, I don't know, you asshole. I've been trying to get you to watch it since January. You tell me why it took you this long.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't want to take away from the fact that the actor is clearly very talented and stuff and is great in the show. And in she's not that much in
Suicide
Squad.
She's barely in Suicide Squad.
She's barely in Suicide Squad, but she's there. She's fine. It is weird. Whenever there's that power dynamic, it's awkward. And in addition to the half the age difference, it's just, for me, it's weird. But at the same time, I don't want to take away from her success as well, or either. Mm-hmm. So, anyways,
Do I even need to read this? I guess, yeah, we'll read the Man of Steel quote. The Henry Cavill quote. He's no longer the Man of Steel.
He'll forever be my Man of Steel.
I hate when people say that. That's my Batman. I'm just saying that
because it sounds weird.
He'll blame her. I like that. This is Henry Cavill's words. He had to release a little statement too. I've just had a meeting with James Gunn and Peter Safran, and it's sad news, everyone. I will, after all, not be returning as Superman. After being told by the studio to announce my return back in October, which we discussed.
Worst part. Yeah. That's the worst part, is that the studio was like, hey, we want you to announce this. He's like, oh, awesome. All right. And then the next month, sorry. No, not really.
Prior to their hire, as in Peter and Gunn and Safran, this news isn't the easiest, but that's life. The changing of the guard is something that happens. I have respect for that. James and Peter have built a universe to build. I wish them and all involved the new universe the best of luck and the happiest of fortunes. And then he has the whole, like, Superman stands and will never go away. Like, and thank you for being fans thing that Patty Jenkins said. Yeah.
Sad. It was very poor management on Warner Brothers' part, but I get there was probably this really pressure from Dwayne Johnson, and they had not yet closed the deal with James Gunn. So it's like, they probably didn't want to, like, well, if James Gunn doesn't work out, and we don't even know what his plans are, and we've pissed off The Rock, we don't want to jeopardize what future we could have with The Rock.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of articles coming up where it's like, did The Rock kill the DCEU? Because I've already seen a few of the articles.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying I agree with that, but I've seen lots of articles like that. It was like, did you force their hand into making an expensive movie that obviously they've had issues before that? And I don't think Gunn and Safran are to be blamed. I think they've been brought in to write the ship, and part of writing the ship is just throwing out that baby.
Sometimes you have to, you know, set flame to the Mary and create a thousand sunny. No one else knows what that means in this chat, but hopefully one of you listeners / watchers does.
So, speaking of watchers, we watched some trailers this week.
Is that all?
Yeah, it's all Warner Brothers woes wins. That's all. Yeah.
All right, cool.
So let's get in them trailers and not spend too much time on it, because we kept it pretty short last week. It was nice. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What did you think, Jammer, of this trailer? Which is obviously Into the Spider-Verse 2. More clever name.
It looked good, but at the same time, I'm surprised it didn't make me more hyped. I appreciate the emotion behind it. It's about, you know, him growing up. You get that speech from his mom at the beginning. It's like, which as you grow up, essentially treat yourself well. Don't screw over your young self. Which I think is great, and it's kind of set to some imagery from the previous movie as well. It cuts into what happens later.
Mostly,
which we get very
from the
minimal.
Previous movie,
we get some stuff with like the new Spider-Man, like the dozens of Spider-Man that they have, and some cool animation things, a little bit of Spider-Gwen interaction, but not a whole lot.
And we get to see Peter B. Parker, so I'm glad he's back. I know them.
Do we?
Yeah, he's in it. He's in it when there are lots of them. So I hope he's a main character.
I didn't notice
again.
Him.
And we get to see and hear Spider-Man 2099, his face.
Yeah.
Without the mask, voiced by...
What's his name?
God, I knew his name until I just said, until you just said, what's his name? Yeah.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac. He, and I like, there's that good line. She's like, I thought we were the good guys. And he's like, we are. And then obviously he just thinks he's right, which is the best villain of the villains that think they're right. So, yeah, also, definitely a positive. But, you know, I'm waiting for the trailer. I think it's when the trailer hits, we'll see more stuff. You know, obviously the first movie was very groundbreaking in terms of animation. In the time since then, we've had like shows like, well, we've had Arcane, which I think also kind of pushed the animation thing forward. So it's not as much of like a wah as it would have been otherwise. But still, it's one of my favorite movies that year. I'm really excited for this. And this did not diminish excitement. So.
Are you worried they're jumping into, and obviously they won't all be main characters, like picking five main Spider-Man for the last movie, but do you think they're going overkill, or do you think it'll be a really quick scene where you like see like 100 Spider-Man in one shot?
No, because
that's Sony's sequel problem.
Yeah, but this is Phil Lord and Chris Miller who are producing it, and they have a pretty good eye for story. And I think what it has to do, and I wrote this article on LRMonline.com back when Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse came out. And it was that this would have been a good way to tell a Justice League story. Mm-hmm. One that is, it's very much Miles' story. It's focused all around him. Everything is done in service of him and his character growth. And as long as everything that happens is in service of the character growth, it doesn't matter how many ancillary characters we have. It all just has to be in service of his growth. And I think if they continue that approach, which I think they will, they have pretty good story instincts. I think it can work.
I will say there's one, I agree. I trust in those guys. And assuming they still have good creative control. I know Sam Raimi lost creative control by the third movie, even though the first two, they were like, do what you want. And then once it was super successful, they were like, add Venom in there just because we want people to see Venom. And he's like he doesn't fit with the script. They're like, add Venom in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, I think, a little bit different because no one knew Spider-Man would be that big because people are foolish and don't understand comic
books. I mean, it was a different era.
Yeah. The only thing I hate about the trailer is Sony invents their own version of Spider-Man for their video games. And of course they have to throw him in the movie. It's like Sony, they call him Insomniac Spider-Man, but it's Sony Spider-Man. And he has appeared in the comics already in like a Spider-Verse type comic.
I mean, if they could fit Spider-Ham into the story, they could find a way to fit that Spider-Man.
But it's just
into
like, here's Sony only Spider-Man.
Nick is still just so sour. Dude, get Game Pass and play it cloud gaming. It'll be a horrible experience, but you could play it.
Why would I want a horrible experience? I have a $300 computer. I'm not playing Spider-Man on it. It's stupid. I don't know. I don't like that aspect of it. Otherwise, it looks great. Any other thoughts on Spider-Verse? I actually feel like there was less original footage in this than the original teaser trailer, but it gives you the feels original, by yeah, they've already released footage, a teaser. Yeah,
the original footage is mostly, you know, her talking and then like just that
the
chase scene at the end. Yeah.
All right, any other comments on that one, Jammer, if we move on to a trailer, which I only have one question about because I know you don't care for this franchise.
Okay.
Scream
You're
6.
Talking about Scream 6, yep.
Which I'm now calling Ghostface Takes Manhattan.
Okay.
Does that change anything for you about the Scream franchise? Because they've all been set in small towns, and this is like kind of more of a cult of Ghostface, not like one person.
I mean, I'm not a slasher fan. I'm just not a slasher fan. It's not my genre of choice.
Okay.
So you saying like, oh, well, how about him doing this in the city? No, that does nothing for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure fans will like it. I know the last movie.
I wouldn't
really
be sure
liked
of that.
I hope fans of the franchise like it, but even if fans of the franchise like it, I don't know if that would do much for me.
I do like that it's called Scream 6, and they found someone just commented online. They're like, good job. Like, let a logo designer do something creative for once.
Yeah, but you should explain what you're talking about when you say that.
The Scream 6 logo is they cut the M so that it's Roman numeral for 6, as in the M at the end of Scream.
Yeah, I agree. It looks good.
So do they go? Like, okay,
what I saw of that teaser, what I saw of that teaser looked good. It's just not something that I want to watch. So
what'd you say?
Do they follow the old school horror trope and Ghostface in space next?
After it takes Manhattan, I sure hope.
I always remember, yeah, like the freaking Jason X and like the Let the Bodies Hit the Floor trailer.
The Leprechaun in space, and yeah. The Critters eventually returned to space, and that was awful. To be fair,
Leprechaun was never good.
No, it's just playing off of the gag that it happened more than Jason X.
Yeah, multiple horror franchises. Speaking
of
space.
You know what they should do? They should call it Ghost Space.
Oh!
There you go.
I want to see them shoot that, though, like, in fake, like, no gravity, so his cloak's just floating up and you like see who's in the costume. Not like sci-fi space where everyone has gravity all of a sudden, but
it's usually because they have fake gravity enabled. Calm down, it's not,
yeah, but
know,
it's like
unexplained.
Yeah, well, no, obviously. But last trailer, speaking of space, is 65, which I had never heard of, and I did not know what direction it was going to take until watching the trailer. So Adam Driver is, I guess, the pilot, or just the guy woken up first on some long journey, alien style, where everyone's like, you know, frozen, and they hit asteroid, and they crash land on a planet with breathable air and monsters that turn out to be literal dinosaurs, because I believe the plot is he's from a different planet that has gone that far sci-fi. Either that, or maybe there's some time travel phenomenon like Planet of the Apes. But usually when you use time travel with space dilation, well, if you use time travel with space dilation, you can only go forward. But, you know, they can invent any sort of time travel.
The trailer says 65 million years ago. So this is an alien. This is a non-Terran. So he's from somewhere else and he's on our Earth 65 million years ago.
Well, I know that part. I'm just wondering if there's time travel involved accidentally, but I doubt it.
Say that. What makes you say that?
I don't know. Because I guess I don't know. I guess we just got the Star Wars phenomenon where there are just human beings on every planet. But what did you think of this trailer, Jammer? I was caught off guard by the twist that there's T-Rexes and Velociraptors. And someone tweeted online, it's nice to see someone besides Jurassic Park attempt to do scary dinosaurs.
Or Dino Crisis. That's what it made me think of. Dino Crisis, the old
video game, right?
Capcom?
Yeah.
Capcom? Yes. Yeah, Capcom. I was like, I always get Capcom and Konami mixed up. Capcom video game that was basically Resident Evil but with dinosaurs. I got this vibe from this. I thought it looked like a lot of fun. I'm curious. I'm sure there's like a twist happening as well, but we all know, like, okay, this is Earth 65 million years ago, so that twist is already gone. Like, what other twist is there going to be? I'm really excited for whatever it is, but either way, it looks like a fun action movie.
Yeah, and of course there's a little girl with him, as is tradition these days with sci-fi.
What does that mean?
Movies. Like, oh, it's okay. Like Logan, he protects a little girl. Prospect, he's protecting a little girl. It's not super, super common trope. The Last of Us, like, it's becoming more prevalent. That way, you know, it kind of grounds the main badass character and makes him learn a lesson besides just shooting dinosaurs. The one thing I thought about is something Jurassic Park could do and they can't do is the Jurassic Park took all the scariest dinosaurs from each and the most famous dinosaurs from each period.
They can do whatever the fuck they want next.
Yeah, true. But I mean, they should just be the ones from the one time period, which I think would actually make it more interesting.
Would it though? Why?
I would have cared even as a child. I had the chart on the wall with which.
I mean, if you want to be accurate, if it's accuracy is what your problem is, then you need to start putting feathers on those fuckers. Otherwise, why bother?
I'm actually surprised we didn't get that in the trailer. I'm actually surprised we didn't get feathers in this one.
I actually would like to see more feathered dinosaurs.
Why not?
I'm on board with that. But I don't know about like having them in era accurate dinosaurs. I don't care enough about that. But I mean, that's just. I think the people who do care about that.
Nick would have cared. Nick has no idea.
But I know, because yeah, you can't have the Stegosaurus, not the Stegosaurus, the Triceratops hanging out with the T-Rexes,
whatever, whichever they are, because I don't remember anymore. Because
T-Rexes are from the Cretaceous period, you know, so it's like whatever.
Thank you for saying it, because I cannot pronounce that word. So Jurassic, that one, and what is the other one? I don't remember.
Triassic.
However you want to pronounce the I.
Cool. Any other thoughts on this trailer, except for it's directed, produced by Sam Raimi, who needs to direct more
films.
Who's
it directed by?
I just closed out of it, but it's not someone's name who I recognized, but I just closed out of it. Let me pull it up.
Scott Beck and Brian Woods. So let me look up Scott Beck. Yeah. Scott Beck is don't allow.
Oh, cookies.
Because it always asks, like, do you want Google to track your location? I'm like, no, I don't want you to track my location. Loser.
Scott Beck did 50 States of Fright, Haunt, Nightlight, Impulse, and then
he was a writer on The Quiet Place.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw it says from the writers. But
Brian Wood, same movie. So they are a duo.
Yeah, they're the Quiet Place duo. So that's pretty cool. Good for them.
Cool. Anything else we need to discuss this week, boys? I'm going to take that as a no. Jammer's going all farty lips.
Nope.
So, thank you all for joining us on this another delightful edition of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. There are many great podcasts on LRMonline.com and the Genreverse Podcast Network, which you can find on places like Amazon, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, you know, everywhere you go. We got AXR Squared.
AVR Squared. Good
There's
God.
There's a lot of letters. AVR Squared. What does it stand for? Sorry, I remember.
Anime Versal Reviews.
But he also, Anime Versal Reviews is a different show.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
AVR is Anime Versal Reviews, and I'm really, really clever. And if you put two R's together in math, it would be R squared. So Anime Reaction Reviews is reactions.
I'll probably get it next
Just
time.
Just keep calling it AVR squared. That's fine.
No, but now that I know what it is, I'll hopefully remember the letters because I know what it's abbreviation for. So you got your anime stuff there. You got your Star Wars stuff on the Katina. Marvel Multiverse Mondays is in flux. We're trying to get it going. Mayhem. Little mayhem.
God damn it, Nick.
The last time we recorded it was on a Monday. Last time we recorded it.
Yeah, but it's still the original title. It doesn't change the title.
Don't confuse people.
And then you have, of course, Breaking Geek Radio, the website, which you're listening to. The podcast. My brain was going so well this rest of the show, and just now I'm losing it. I'm napping after this, that's for darn sure. And I feel like I'm forgetting shows. You have Daily Cup of Genre and Reaction Show. I know it. I'm spacing it.
It's all right. Genre Shot, Trailer Reactions.
Genre Shot, it's, Trailer it's Reactions. Which I did you do Barbie for that, or did you just talk Barbie?
Cut our reaction on Daily Cog out of it and put it up as a Genre Shot. So that is there.
So
if you guys can see that.
Since we did not talk about that trailer, if you'd like to check it out there. Of course, you can also watch our beautiful faces on YouTube. Kyle will be found at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. I was gonna ask him, but I'm like, for Kyle, I just do it. Jammer, where are you found, buddy?
You can find me on Twitter at AJ Cerna Writer. You can also find me there on TikTok. All my books under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon and Audible. And then also check out MahiaBooks.com, MAGIABooks.com.
Do it. And I am at GeekyNickDoll on Twitter, and I'm trying to get Instagram going, but it's for the kids, man. Too old for this shit. And with that, hasta lasagna, don't get the Anya, mission accomplished. I know Jammer's good.
Say
goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.